If we want to let God be God, the first action we need to take is what? This is what we talked about just a few minutes ago. Remember the God things. That's why I tell you to write it down, because if you're like me, you can't remember 10 minutes ago. Remember the God things. Number two is to let go of our chains by following Jesus. To let go of our chains. Now, chains represent those things in our lives that burden us, that confine us, that hold us back, that rob us of our peace, joy, and contentment. And so if we go back to the Israelites, remember, while they were in Egypt, they were slaves. Chains, and whether they were chained physically or not, they were chained by the fact that they were slaves. They were controlled by the Egyptians. They were under somebody else's thumb. And as they were there, they also gathered some spiritual chains because they began to adopt the gods of Egypt. So that's why Joshua says, this day I'm going to challenge you, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the gods of your parents that when they were in Egypt? So they had some spiritual chains. They also had some emotional chains because by being slaves for hundreds of years, they viewed themselves as slaves. They view themselves as victims, as captors. And so even though their physical chains were gone, they had some spiritual and emotional chains that held them back. Letting go of our chains is recognizing that we're going to let go of everything except for God. Letting go of everything except for God. You see, we all grow up being put in chains. Emotional chains, spiritual chains, mental chains, relationship chains. Anything that holds us back, anything that captures our heart and our mind and soul, anything that keeps us from letting God be God, those are chains. Some are self-inflicted. We gather them ourselves. Some of them are imposed upon us by other people. We didn't choose them, but we end up growing up with a habit or a way of looking at life, or worshiping in a way that is not what Jesus would want us to do. Joshua's challenge to those Israelites, again in Joshua chapter 23, he says, "And now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and your souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord God has promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one of them has failed." And so he's saying to them, God has been God to you. All the things that you've been through, he has given you every opportunity to be released from those chains. And then our scripture in Joshua 24, choose this day who you're going to serve. So the chains represent those things that keep us from allowing God to be God, whatever they may be. And so Joshua says, God has broken your chains as you followed him. But if you don't follow him, you will remain in those chains or you will be chained again. And so there are a lot of those different kinds of chains, emotional, physical, spiritual slavery. Now, imagine if you were one of those Israelites. And Moses comes and, you know, all these plagues. And then finally Pharaoh says, leave, we don't want you here anymore. And you hear about that. Pharaoh has said, you're free. You are free to go and be free. And you start thinking in your mind, I don't think so. I think I'd just rather stay here, having to make bricks, being beaten by the Egyptians, not having any freedom. Now, what would you say to a person like that? See, this is when I ask you a question. What would you say to somebody like that?
What's wrong?
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with you? That's crazy. That's anybody else? That's foolish. That's dumb. Why would you do that? And yet, God says to us, you know those emotional chains, those spiritual chains that you have on? Let me have them. Let go of them. We said, no, God, I think I'll hold on to those. And in that case, we should say to ourselves what we just said. That's foolish. Or imagine, so today one of the things we're celebrating is paying off our loan. And this week, just in the nick of time, we got the packet from Brentwood Bank that said paid in full. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Celebrate. This is when you clap, applaud. Yeah. Paid in full. We got it. Now, what would you say if I got that in the packet today, Thursday, and I called at Brentwood Bank, and I said, we got used to paying this. $2,000 every month, and it's kind of like, it's part of our monthly ritual. Would it be okay if we just keep paying $2,000 a month? And they would say, you're foolish, but we'll find some way to create the paperwork where you can do that. Or the guy who answers the phone would go, sure, but send it in my name. It would be foolish, right? And yet, when God says to us, let go of your chains, we often say, no, I think I'll just keep hanging on to those. There are chains that we get comfortable with. It's funny because you look at the story of the Israelites and they were free, went across the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army was drowned, and then they get to the other side and God provides them this miraculous food called manna every single day, except, 6 days a week. And they got it. But then after eating it for a while, they started grumbling. And it amazes me because here's one of the things they said. Back in Egypt, we had leeks and onions and things we could make soup. And now all we have is this manna. You can fry it, you can bake it, you can broil it, you can eat it raw. You can do whatever you want to, but after a while, God, manna's manna. We'd like to have some onions. You see, what had happened? They hadn't been free from those chains very long until they forgot the pain of those chains. We get comfortable with them, we like them, and it's hard for us to let go of them. Now, we want to pass these out. If grab somebody else and pass those out. You like the nice bag that we got for those? So we wanted you to have a couple of mementos to take home with you to celebrate this day. Day when we are free from our mortgage. We don't have to be enslaved by that anymore. And so this is a bookmark that Nancy and her team have put together. Nancy, Debbie, Bev, Susan. A lot of people worked on all of the stuff that you see today. The bucket. Was there a bucket in there? Let's see. Don't ever give me anything unless you do it exactly the way you want it. So we wanted to give you a memento. And so I want to draw your attention, first of all, to the key. The key is something that you can put on your keychain. You can keep it as a tangible remembrance of not only how God has worked so that we're free from this mortgage, but also that God can set you free from your chains. Because a key has a number of different functions. A key will unlock the shackles, will unlock the chains, so that you can be free. But it's not just about being free. It's also, it will unlock the door to the future. And that's what the Israelites hadn't really grasped, is that as they let go of the chains, God would give them the opportunity to have a future that they had never even thought about. regardless of what the chains are, I want you to look at me. Anything that keeps you from experiencing God is God. Anything. Physically, emotionally, mentally, relationally, spiritually, in any way. Anything that is holding you back. Any habit, any fear, anything that is holding you back is a chain that God will set you free from. There is nothing that has happened in your life that God will not set you free from. That's why it's important for us to look back, because we see the power of God as we go forward into the future. And so this key represents the freedom God will give you from the shackles that have held you and will open the door to the future that he wants to give you, that underneath everything that we really desire. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." And what he's talking about there is with the things in this life that you're trying to carry by yourself. "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is saying, here's the future I want for you. A future of joy where your burden is light and where the attachment to me, the yoke that would attach me to Jesus is not burdensome, but it's light. And he's the one that's guiding, and all I have to do is just follow his lead, and I won't be chained anymore. And John chapter 8, verse 36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." He says, here's the future that I have for you, but you have to let go of the chains. You have to let go of the stuff that holds you back. In your bulletin, I want you to pull this out. On the front, it's a picture of the mortgage burning, and this is, if you notice, it's an actual copy of the mortgage that is burning in the picture there, Brentwood Bank, see? Nancy already burnt my signature up, so that doesn't matter anymore. But on the back of it is what I want you to notice. And what you have in your hand is what we want you to burn today. After we're done here, we're going to go outside and we're going to have a fire out there, and we want you this to represent the chains that have held you back. And so we're going to play a song that talks about God taking those chains. But on the right-hand side it says, "So nothing will hold you back from God's good future. What will you release to him? What will you allow God to take, break, or heal? What is it that has impacted you? It might be a fear, it might be the control of some habit or some idea or some way of thinking, or it might be something that has happened in the past, a grudge that you're holding. Whatever it is that comes to mind, when you think of releasing yourself completely to God, the thing that comes to mind that would say, well, I'm not good enough, or I'm not free enough, or I can't do it, I want you to write those down. And then when we go outside, it will be a symbol of letting it go as you watch it go up in flames. So we're going to play this song and give you a chance to write down those things that you want to surrender to God, that you want to release to God.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. You got pain.
What chains we have ever been shackled with, he breaks them. And that gives us the ability to say to God, I will follow you. I will go forward. And so the next two songs are kind of commitment songs of saying to God that I'm going to let go of the chains that have held me in the past, and I'm going to follow you no matter what, depending on your power. So let's stand and sing these two songs. Is to choose to serve God only and always. If we want to let God be God, if we want to experience God being God and the future that he has for us, we need to choose to serve God only and always. You see, the issue is always, will we let God be God? I asked you where you were 30-some years ago and then 14 years ago. Let me ask you, where will you be and what will you be experiencing 5 years from now? Or 10 years from now? Or 15 years from now? We don't know. See, this is, no matter how many times I would say, okay, this is your time to respond, the answer would be, we don't know. But there's another answer. You will be experiencing, if you let God be God, you will be experiencing the future that he has for you. None of us know, but we can know that if we follow Jesus, and in the previous 3 weeks we've been talking about what it means to follow Jesus. It means to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. It means to, in every way, make him God, to serve God only and always. And so when we remember what God has done, when we let go of the chains, the other gods that enslave us, we then can make an informed choice, an informed, deliberate, decisive choice to serve God only and always. You see, it's not an emotional choice. We're used to making emotional decisions in our culture. You know, you go to pep rallies, yeah, we're the best, and everybody cheers, and you go to concerts, and sometimes even in worship experiences, there's somebody challenges you, and you say, yes, I'm going to do it, I'm going to change, I'm going to make a difference, and I'm going to do all these things, and in that moment, we think we mean it with all of our hearts, and we might. But those are emotional choices. I'm talking about a deliberate, informed choice that will determine every step that we take for the rest of our lives. You see, by choosing to serve God only and always, we can experience an even greater future than the things that we've experienced in the past. All those great things, those God moments that you've had in the past, the future can be even greater. And now you hear, you know, motivational speakers, the best is yet to come. The best of life is still in front of you. And that's true only if you choose to serve God only and always. The Israelites, think about what they had experienced. Their ancestors had been enslaved in Egypt. Great plagues had come, and Moses, by the power of God, had defeated the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. They got to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is coming up behind them. They got the Red Sea in front of them. God says, just watch. And he parts the Red Sea and they walk across. They have walked around Jericho every day for 7 days and the walls fall down. They have watched God work. And so if Joshua would say to them, the best is yet to come, you will see God work in even greater ways, they might think, how can that possibly be? But it's the truth, because God wants to do greater and greater things in our lives as we go forward, things that will touch our hearts and change our lives. And so he says in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river, and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, those gods that have infiltrated your lives as you've been in this land for the last 30 years. And then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, the Israelites stood at a fork in the road. And forks are dangerous places because that the choice that we make at the fork will determine our future. And so it's a very dangerous place. This is the most dangerous of all because the fork that these Israelites are standing on is, are we going to serve God or are we going to serve ourselves in the shape of other gods and the chains and all the things that we might have to offer? And the choice that they make at this point is going to determine not only their future, but the future generations and the way that God provides the Messiah in the future. Joshua knew the pull of our human tendencies. You see, to choose God and his ways requires a deliberate, informed choice. It's never the default. Oh, maybe after we've been Christians for a long time, and the Holy Spirit has really gotten a hold of us, it might be kind of, but it will always be a deliberate choice because our human tendency is to do what we want to do, what appears to be best in our mind, what is appealing to us, what appears to give us pleasure or the things that we want. And so Joshua knew that this is going to require deliberate choice because otherwise we will choose the other. We stand at forks in our lives at various times. Sometimes they're not big things. Other times they're huge. Where am I going to go to school? Where am I going to work? Who am I going to marry? All of those are huge because they determine our future. But the spiritual forks in the road are the ones that are even more important. And the fork is, will you serve God or will you allow other things to be God in your life? Intellectually, it's a no-brainer. But our natural tendency is not to go towards God, it's to go away from God. So what happened with the Israelites? We pick the story up in Joshua 24, verse 16. It says, then the people answered. So Joshua challenges them. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You choose what gods you're going to serve today. Idols or God? Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, those chains, the shackles. And who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples who, through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Hooray, cheer, say amen. It's wonderful. But it's not. Because the action has to be to choose to serve God only and always. And this sounds good, but a part of the promise is to set aside other gods. And they didn't say they would do that. Well, we want to serve the Lord. Notice Joshua in verse 19, he responds in a way that seems a little bit odd on the surface. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. Well, there is a word of encouragement, isn't it? What do you mean we're not able? You just challenged us to serve the Lord. Now you're saying we can't. And the reason he said that is because they had not promised to set aside other gods. They're trying to say, we don't want to separate the fork. We want to go both ways at the same time. And that's impossible. I talked about the jumping over the electric barbed wire style last week. It's the same thing. We want to keep both feet. We want to keep one foot in either side. You're not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. Underline that phrase. When he says jealous, what he means by that is not that he wants all those other things. Jealous means exclusive. He says, I'm a jealous God. And the picture is here of a husband and wife. The husband ought to be jealous for his wife. Because other people may be her friend, but nobody else is going to be her husband. And the same between the wife and the husband. And so he's saying, I'm a jealous God. I will put up with no other gods. You have to choose me only and always. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. He's saying you stand at the fork. If you choose other gods, you can't choose him. And if you choose other gods, you choose to be an enemy of the one true God. Then Joshua issues his final warning. If you serve other gods, you make an enemy of the Lord. Verse 21, the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. In other words, yeah, we are making this choice. And then in verse 23, he zeroes in on the chains that they have willingly accepted and kept. Put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Joshua pushes him. Declare this day you're going to forsake those other gods. We will serve the Lord. No, you have to agree to forsake the other gods. We will serve the Lord. If you continue to serve these other gods, you will make an enemy of God. We will serve the Lord. And they would not say, we'll give up those other gods. And we think that's stupid, right? I mean, really, isn't that dumb? So you think this is a trick question, don't you? It sounds good, but it has to be serving God only and always. Though they were unchained from slavery in Egypt, they were still wearing spiritual chains. These Israelites had watched all that God had done, and still, they were not fully giving their hearts to God. You see, serving God only and always is easy to say, and sometimes obvious in the big things. But choosing God, making the deliberate choice to make Him God only and always, is really made in the small choices rather than the big. It's in the daily choices. And so for these Israelites, a man stands there, one of the Israelites stands there, yes, we will serve the Lord, but then he goes back home and his mother-in-law has a foreign god. And she wants to keep it in the house. That's a harder choice, isn't it? Because his mother-in-law means that it's his wife's mother. And now this could cause all kinds of marital problems and all kinds of difficulty. And yet that's when you have to say, no other gods. Or when the teenage kids come home and they've been playing with their Amorite friends and they start bringing other gods home. And it creates all kinds of adolescent angst. Do you let them keep those idols or do you say no? You see, it's made in the daily choices. For us, when we're bombarded with temptation of a habit that we have not yet let go of a chain that we have still been locked on our ankle. And a daily, moment by moment, having to say no to something you've been saying yes to for so long. And knowing in the back of your mind, well, if I do this, God will forgive me. And yet you're still chained. Gossip. Now, it's one thing not to murder, but I mean, God, everybody talks about other people, right? Or holding a grudge and bitterness over somebody that's hurt you. Or watching sexually charged TV or magazines or movies, telling white lies. Or fudging on that complete honesty at work because your boss tells you to and everybody does it, and yet, it's not being honest and true to God. Choosing ourselves over others. Anytime we choose anything other than God's way, we are choosing other gods. And he says the only way we can experience that great future is by choosing God. Now, God had a greater future for the Israelites. You know what he wanted to do with the Israelites? He wanted to make them a light and a reflection of himself to the entire world. Way back with Abraham, he says, I will make you a light to the Gentiles. He wanted, if they would obey him, they would have experienced such incredible blessings of God that the whole world would have come running to find out what it is that causes them to have all of this. God had a promise, but they would not let go of the other things in their lives. Today we're celebrating that our mortgage is paid off. And I'm challenging you to rally around serving God individually, but also as a congregation, to go into the future as passionately and as committed as we have been to the past. You see, here's the temptation. We paid off the mortgage. Now I don't have to give to the building fund anymore so that I can go spend money on myself. Am I right? First thought. And yet there's so much more that God wants to do in us and through us. So here's what I know is if it's between you and God, God told you to give a certain amount of money and you've given it, he has taken care of you. He's made your washing machine last longer, your car drive longer. He has protected you from injury and harm. He has provided things for you that you've even forgotten that somebody provided for you. Because God has been using you as a funnel, as a conduit to accomplish his purpose through the New Song family. So if you say, I don't have to give the building fund anymore, you know who's going to suffer? The New Song family and you. Because now your washing machine is going to break down and your car is going to break down. And those things that God has done for you because you have been obedient will no longer happen. And so as we go forward, there's still a lot to be done, a lot to be accomplished. But what happens is this chain that we've had as a mortgage is no longer there. We're free of that. And now we are free to do greater things to impact the community and glorify God. We got stuff to do around here. We got stuff we want to do in the future. So this isn't to say, I don't have to give anymore. This is to say, God, what is it that you want me to do next? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and 13. For freedom Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. God has set us free. He's given us the opportunity to be free of the chains. Now, don't go back to different chains. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Serve one another. You see, God has given us incredible gifts. He's provided. He said, I'll fill you with the Holy Spirit, and I will give you the opportunity to be all that you want to be. I will give you the opportunity to experience things that you have not yet experienced. And this week we start this all church emphasis called The Power of a Whisper, hearing God and having the guts to respond. I want to challenge you to give yourself fully to this, because the only way that individually, as families and as a church family, that we can be the people of God is having the ability to hear His voice. What could be more important than that? What could be more important? And so get into a small group. Read the book. Process it. Give yourself to God, because there's no greater pleasure than sensing God speak and then cooperating with Him. What will you do? He says we have to let go, or we have to remember the things that God has done to give us faith to let go of the chains, so that every day, every moment, every decision, every relationship, everything we do, we can choose to make God, God, only and always, serving Him with our whole hearts. Do you know what happened to the Israelites? Bad stuff. Because they refused to say, we will not serve other gods. They kept those gods. And not only did they not experience the future, they started getting conquered almost right away. They lost their kingdom, short period of time. They became slaves again. And as a result, the world did not have that witness of seeing what God could do and who He was. That can happen to us too. It took faith for us to get where we are. It took faith to start. It took faith to purchase this building. It took faith to pay the thing off. It took obedience and faithfulness on your part to do that. Now we stand at the fork. What are we going to do now? Not about us. It's about the future that God has for us. On your bookmark, on one side it says freedom and promise. Because when God sets us free from those chains, then the promise of a greater future is even better. So He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so we wanted to give you this bookmark, and we encourage you to use it in your Bible so that every day that you see this. And on the flip side is really where we want you to concentrate. At the top is the chorus of a song called Shackles. And in the song, it says, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. You see, it's not just about having the shackles off my feet, but it's the ability to experience all that God has for me so that we can pray. Our lives will praise Him. Our hearts will praise Him. Our families will praise Him. All the activities of our lives will praise Him. And so not only do I want you to identify those things that you're going to surrender, that you're going to burn in a little bit, but I also want you to, at the bottom, make some commitments to God. What will you commit to Him? Will you commit to Him to serve Him only and always? And then as the song plays, I want you to think, are there other commitments that He's leading you to make? It may be as simple as, okay, I'm going to give myself fully to this all church emphasis. It could be something that He's been asking you to do. And I think you can write on there if possible, but we kind of want you to leave it open because as the years go on, there will be different commitments that he'll ask you to make. But in these few moments, I want you to consider, what commitment will you make to God? And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to continue with what we're doing. Would you pray with me? Lord, on this day, as we look back to see all that you've done, as we think of the things that have held us as a congregation, and now the future that you offer today, we commit to you as a New Song Church and as the pastor to serve you as God only and always, whatever the future has for us. God, I pray that you would help us to see it clearly and walk in your way. Lord, I pray for every person and the commitments that they've made today, those things that they've identified that they're going to let go of and the things that they're going to commit to, the changes that they're going to make. I pray that you would fill them with your Spirit afresh, that you would give them the eyes to see what they need to do and the power and the strength and the courage and the guts to go forward in doing what you want them to do. And in doing so, God, the hope and the promise that you give to us. So, Lord, we give ourselves to you. May the next years be the best years as we serve you only and always. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.